Word of mouth.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, this is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott. In January 2012, Paul Frampton was arrested at a Buenos Aires airport after checking a suitcase with 2 kilos of cocaine concealed in the lining. Frampton did not fit the drug smuggler profile. He's a world-renowned particle physicist. From here, the plot just thickens with TV cliches. Gullible, absent-minded Professor Frampton meets young, impossibly attractive Czech bikini model named Denise online. They fall in love, they make plans to meet overseas at one of her photo shoots, but ticketing mishaps leave Frampton stranded a few times. In Bolivia, one of them, Denise promises to send him a new ticket, this time to Brussels, but first asks Frampton to pick up a suitcase she left behind, the very suitcase he discovered while being handcuffed in Buenos Aires, which contained almost $500,000 worth of cocaine. Maxine Swan is author of the book The Foreigners. In her story, the professor, the bikini model, and the suitcase full of trouble appeared in the New York Times Magazine. She caught up with Professor Frampton last fall while he was awaiting trial in a Buenos Aires prison and joins us now from that city. Maxine, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you, Virginia.
Paul Frampton really does come off as this zany mix of tropes of the absent-minded professor and the gullible older man. What was your impression of him?
Well, I was actually surprised when I first met him because I had heard he had told me by telephone that he had a schizoid personality disorder. And then when I first met him, he was so charming, and so he seemed so connected, and I was surprised by his amazing social skills. He has great social skills.
How did he describe, however, this relationship with Denise Milani? Do you get a sense he was truly in love?
I think he thought he was truly in love. Yes, I think he elaborated a whole fantasy about their life together, their children together. I think he is a person who's spent very little time in his life thinking about love or women. Mm. You know, he's been in the world of theoretical particle physics. So he's a little bit, that's an understatement. He's quite stunted in that area.
I guess that's kind of the case that his lawyers made for him in court. I mean, he's a prominent man in his field. Several of his contemporaries are Nobel Prize winners, as he's very quick to point out. Did he reach out to any of these
yes.
colleagues for help after landing in prison?
Oh, yes. They really came through. The international physics community rallied and wrote letters of support and did what they could from afar, including several Nobel laureates wrote letters of support.
Hmm. So what kind of case did his lawyers make for him in court?
Well, they were saying that, yes, that he had been completely duped. They were really playing up him as a idiot savant, as a child, a brilliant child, this type of profile, and they read a lot of the emails that the love correspondence, just to show how much that he had really been taken in by this person posing as Denise Milani.
Hmm. We're talking with the writer Maxine Swan about a story she wrote for the New York Times Magazine called The Professor, the Bikini Model, and the Suitcase Full of Trouble, which is pretty much as it sounds, an almost unbelievably wacky story of identity and, I'm going to say, ivory tower elitism. I mean, because this was indeed a crime. When did Frampton's version of the story start to break down, Maxine?
Well, it really broke down in the trial, and it was a surprise to all of us. I had known that there were some somewhat tricky text messages, which I had asked him about, and he said, yes, there were. I just made a few jokes about drugs and sniffer dogs. But then in the trial, the prosecutor began reading the litany. There were about 30 messages to this effect, And things began to look a little different.
So what really happened, do you think?
Well, I think that Frampton was incredibly duped. I think he was madly in love, and I think if he did know that there were drugs in the bag, he only did it to woo this woman. He thought that that was the way to woo her. He has no interest in drugs or money himself, actually. He has absolutely no interest in money. If he knew. Now the defense did present compelling evidence to the contrary.
Throughout the story and throughout your conversations with him, his self-regard borders on, well, certainly narcissistic, but almost delusional. Did you ever get the sense that he really knew how much trouble he was in?
I definitely think his narcissism is delusional. I felt that a few times. And I think that he really, for a long time, just felt that a mistake had been made. And this is even after he'd been for months in prison, a mistake had been made. It was soon going to be cleared up and his life was going to proceed as normal. Mm. Only really in the months before the trial, it seemed to really hit him that might not be the case.
I guess I can't help but read your story full of great details about him and wonder, how can anybody be so smart and so stupid?
Right. Well, that's the complexity of this man. And I mean, I think he's not the only one. I've received lots of emails from people saying, either from physicists or from people, you know, mathematicians, like, oh, well, I know someone just like that. I think his wife said he lives in an alternative universe. And I think that does seem to be the case.
Maxine,
when I saw him in prison, he was in the world of physics.
And still wondering when you were going to ask him about it.
Exactly. He just wanted to talk about that.
I wonder if you've got another novel coming in this one.
Oh, in the story.
It's an amazing story.
It's an amazing story. I'm trying to figure out if I do or if there's what more can be done with it. Something more will happen, I'm sure.
Maxine Swann, I want to thank you.
My pleasure.
Maxine Swann, novelist and writer, and you'll find a link to her New York Times Magazine story about the jailed particle physicist Paul Frampton at wordofmouthradio.org.